Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's gather in. We are ready to begin. While you're moving in to find your seat, let me just say what a wonderful privilege Lake Williamson has had to host this district council. Wow. So maybe it doesn't mean as much to you as it does to us and our team, but to have been here for over the last year, kind of a empty wasteland. Everything that Lake Williamson was established to do, we were unable to do. Everything we love to do, the lives we long to touch, and the change that we just anticipate happening in the lives of people, we weren't able to do it, right? You know the feeling. Some of that pause button is hit, things are stalled, and you just can't do it. Thank God we are in a new season. So we have in the back of the room, to take a look back there, we have our team. That's the Rebuilders team, a core group of individuals that stuck with us. And, they are an amazing team. All right, so here's what you need to know. Those fine people weathered out the pandemic. They worked and labored to provide this event for you, and they put in some long days. So here's how we define a long day at Lake Williamson. You like this, right? So a long day at Lake Williamson is being up with Pastor Larry Griswold in the morning, all right? And you're not done until Pastor Gary Grogan quits talking. So you're feeling the pain, aren't you? That's a long day. It's a long day. Well, these guys have hung with us, and they put in the long days and the time, and it's just been, and I know things haven't been perfect. I get that, but it's been a great, great event. Wow. And good news. Next year, we're coming back. So it'll be the 100th anniversary. We've got a lot of great things planned, and we're just looking for God to pour out his glory on us. And here this morning, we want to begin our service first by gathering together our thoughts, our hearts, and reflecting on yesterday, right? We are not the Messiah, right? I'm not even a 2x4. I'm a 1x0. He's the one, and I'm the nothing. And so that's the place where God can work. Let's bow our heads together, and let's open our hearts to what God wants to do here in this place today. Father, thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love that gathered us together in this location. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in just every place we look, in the dining room, the breakout sessions, the auditorium, in recreation, out on the grounds, walking the pathways. God, you are doing a mighty work. You're transforming our hearts. You're preparing us for the season of ministry that lay ahead. God, we look to you again this morning. Continue that work. Do it deeply. Do it effectively in my heart and in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. We commit this service to you. We commit our lives to you and our futures as we move from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, as you clap your hands and celebrate Jesus, would you stand with us this morning? Well, let's put our hands together one more time.
You may be seated this morning. We're going to take these moments to remember those who, since our last district council in 2020, have gone on to their eternal reward. Let me begin with this encouraging word from the Apostle Paul, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm reading it this morning from the Message. And regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you to be in the dark any longer. We can tell you with complete confidence, We have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give the command, Archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast. He'll come down from heaven and the dead in Christ will rise. They'll go first. Then the rest of us who are still alive at that time will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Master. Oh, we will be walking on air. And then there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. So encourage one another with these words. I express our thanks this morning to family members and friends who have joined us for this service. When I call the name of your loved one, I'm going to encourage you to stand and to please come forward, and Renee Schneider and my wife Ann will greet you with a rose of remembrance. Following the reading of the names, Pastor Phil will lead us in a time of prayer for these families and friends. Bruce Tom Bozart, born on November 11th, 1927, went to be with the Lord on March 1st, 2020. Brother Bozart was credentialed in 1948 and ordained in 1954. He served as a prison chaplain in California and the director of Teen Challenge in Hawaii. He also pastored in Illinois at First Assembly of God in Carbondale, Assembly of God Browning, and as a staff pastor at Carlinville First. From 1979 to 1994, he was an Assemblies of God missionary to Asia Pacific. His daughter and son-in-law, Sina and Ty Silva, have been AG missionaries to Asia Pacific since 1978, and they are lead pastors today at Agape International Christian Assembly in Taipei, Taiwan. Their granddaughter, Jamie, presently serves as an AG missionary in Bangkok, Thailand. William H. Carlsberg, March 18, 1944 to March 20, 2021. Brother Carlsberg was licensed in March 1977 and ordained in April 1982. His pastorate, which spanned over 40 years, was spent primarily in Santa Cruz County, California. He lived in Smithton, Illinois. He was a member of First Assembly of God in Belleville. David L. Duffield, born November 17, 1947, went to be with the Lord November 29, 2020. Or excuse me, September 29, 2020. Brother Duffield was credentialed in September 2019. And licensed in September 2020, just previous to his passing. He was a faithful member of New Rivers Assembly of God in Maryville, where he was mentored by Pastor Kevin Wilson. Michael L. Holland, January 25, 1948 to November 30, 2020. Brother Holland was credentialed in March 2009. Mike enjoyed preaching and teaching the Word of God. He was active in sharing God's truth to help individuals recover from addictions and hurts. Paul McGarvey, born February 13, 1927, went to be with the Lord March 8, 2020. Brother McGarvey was licensed in October 1978 and ordained in May 1989. Paul received a master's in education from Eastern Illinois University. He coached basketball, football, and baseball for 18 years at the secondary level in Illinois. Paul served as the director of men's ministries at the National Assembly of God headquarters from 1972 to 1982. He served as the associate pastor at Calvary Temple in Naperville from 1982 to 1994. And he served as an associate pastor in Kansas City, Missouri, from 2005 to 2018, retiring at the age of 81. Dale S. Miller, born February 8, 1965, went to be with the Lord February 2nd, 2021. Dale Miller was licensed in September 1987 and ordained in May 1990. From 1993 to 1997, he pastored at New Life Christian Center in Mount Sterling. From 1997 until his passing, he pastored with his wife Tammy at Harvest Family Center in Bloomington. Mary D. Mullenix, born March 13, 1930, went to be with the Lord on January 8, 2021. Sister Mullenix was licensed in October 1988. She served as an evangelist, preaching in various churches in Florida, Alabama, and Illinois. She also provided vocals in music ministry. She and her husband were members of Glad Tidings Assembly of God in DeKalb and attended First Christian Center in Washington, Illinois. Larry Nuttall, born May 30th, 1951, went to be with the Lord May 22nd, 2019. Brother Nuttall was credentialed in July 1984. He served in churches in Illinois, including Peoria, Washington, Clinton, El Paso, and Toluca. He also served as a chaplain and directed the children's ministry at the Assemblies of God family camps and the Illinois Special Touch camps here at Lake Williamson. He traveled internationally on missions trips to Costa Rica, Mexico, Poland, Russia, and domestic trips, including the American Indian College in Arizona. Barbara J. Stender, born February 3, 1943, and went to be with the Lord on December 3, 2020. Sister Stender was credentialed in September 2012. She served God as an art teacher, ESL educator, and as an active member of Maranatha Chapel in Evergreen Park, Illinois. Herbert E. Wilson, born December 20th, 1930, and went to be with the Lord on April 1st, 2021. Brother Wilson was licensed in December 1968 and ordained in April 1975. He served in several Illinois churches, including the Assembly of God Church in Valmire, First Assembly of God in Glen Carbon, Assembly of God in Cerro Gordo, Mitchell Assembly of God in Granite City, State Park Assembly of God in Collinsville. He was well known as Poppy. Brother Wilson retired from full-time ministry in 2016 from State Park Assembly of God. He spent his retirement years as a member of New Rivers Church in Maryville. We have some minister spouses who went on to be on to their eternal reward in these past months. Lois J. Beans, born November 17, 1934, went to be with the Lord on January 22, 2021. Lois was the wife of Reverend Lauren Beans, who pastored at New Hope Assembly of God in Savannah and served as a campus pastor and counselor. Darlene Boehm, born May 16, 1955, and went to be with the Lord on November 23, 2020. Darlene was the wife of David L. Boehm, who ministers in nursing homes and is currently serving the Illinois District doing pulpit supply ministry. Jane Sue Howerton, born February 2, 1933, and went to be with the Lord on May 14, 2021. Sue was the wife of Reverend Ronald Howerton, who pastored at the Assembly of God in Mount Zion and served as the visitation pastor for Maranatha Assembly of God in Decatur. Catherine Jones, born October 17, 1923, and went to be with the Lord on February 14, 2021. Catherine was the wife of the late Reverend Oda Jones. She served as a cook here at Lake Williamson Christian Center and was a member of Carlinville First Assembly of God. Joe Qualls, born November 16, 1949, and went to be with the Lord on November 20th, 2020. Joe was the wife of Reverend Dan Qualls. She loved teaching and guiding children, In 1970, Joe graduated from Wichita State University with her bachelor's in elementary education. In 1970, she and Dan married at Central Assembly of God in Wichita, Kansas. And since 2007, Joe and Dan have lived in the Quad Cities pastoring Bethel Assembly of God Church in Rock Island. Pastor, those are the individuals we recognize at this council as having gone to their eternal reward since the last time we have gathered.
With a real mix of sorrow and celebration that we share today. Some of those names, as they called them, I'm remembering times that some of them were in the South region, and I had an opportunity to go and meet with them and their church. Some of them met here at District Council. Some of them I've never met, but there's coming a day when we will stand together and we'll tell the stories of what God did in the Illinois District Council of the Assemblies of God. We love your moms and dads. We love your family. They're a part of our family. I'm going to ask our presbyters to come at this time. Our presbyters are going to gather around these brothers and sisters. We're just going to pray for them. Going to pray that the Lord will comfort them and strengthen them. Can we all stand? Should Jesus tarry, our family will celebrate this same moment someday. So let's just lay hands on our brothers and sisters. Let's stretch out our hands over them and pray for them. Father, we pray that the seeds of faithfulness that you have given these moms and dads who've gone on to be with Jesus, we pray that the seeds of ministry that they planted would remain fruitful and fresh for generations to come. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the work that they have done in churches, Lord, that work is still bearing fruit today. We claim the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "You shall bear fruit, and your fruit shall remain." We thank you for that. Father, give these friends great comfort in knowing that the work of the ministry was accomplished, that, Father, that their family is blessed by the work of mom and dad to the second, third, and fourth generation. We thank you for it, Father. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give these brothers and sisters who've gone on to glory one last acknowledgement here on earth. Hallelujah. Thank you for them, Father. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I tell you, every time that I see that part of our service, it just, you know, some of these were brothers and sisters who served in anonymity in our eyes, but never in anonymity in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, who's known their work. Praise the Lord. This morning is our communion service. Pastor Ron, I'll never forget when at camp one year, you talked about, we call this Holy Communion. 25 years ago, that stuck with me. This is not just communion. This is Holy Communion. This is the one thing that the Lord told us to remember Him in doing this. You know, communion is not necessarily a New Testament word. In the New Testament, it was the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. In the Old Testament, it was Passover that was connected to. But we call it communion. The word communion means a deep, intimate sharing. And that's what Jesus did with His disciples at the Last Supper. Deep, intimate sharing. He opened His heart to them. Today we have an opportunity to share together in Holy Communion. Today we're going to have five different people speak on the five stages of communion. I pray that your heart, this is more kind of an interactive communion service. I pray that your heart will be open to be able to share your heart with the Father and His heart with you. I'm going to ask Christina Stanley to come and start our communion service.
Good morning. As Pastor Phil said, my name is Christina Stanley, and it's an honor to be with you this morning. I'm going to talk about self-examination, or stage one, of what we call communion. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 26, verses 21 and 22, and it says this: "When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, He said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray Me.' And greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, 'Am I the one, Lord?'" This scene here is happening during what we call the Last Supper. They didn't know it was the last time that they would eat together. The words of Jesus come as a summons to these disciples, to a great searching of their heart. A fitting preparation, is it not, for the new and sacred service to which they will soon be invited. Truly, there is no better question passing with a cup from heart to heart than, "Is it I, Lord?" This goes for us today, too, though. No one should sit at the table of the Lord without carefully examining themselves. We all need to ask, "Am I the one, Lord?" Each of us should search our heart and ask the Lord to search our heart and to know our anxious thoughts, as the psalmist says. We also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 28 this. It says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating this bread and drinking this cup." That phrase, "that is why you should examine yourself," the verb there, examine, it means to test his own feelings, to check to see whether they're sincere or not. Each of us, when we come to the Lord's table, must come in a sober and serious humility with proper reverence. The Lord's Supper is intended not only to commemorate that supreme act of Calvary, but to enable us to spiritually incorporate ourselves as well, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. If we judge ourselves, if we open our hearts, and if we truly repent, then we can escape that judgment and that correction from God. St. Ignatius of Loyola said it this way: "He who goes about to reform the world must begin with himself, or he loses his labor." An excellent tool for self-examination that I found is the prayer of examine. The prayer of examine emerged in the 16th century and was developed by St. Ignatius as a way to help believers recognize the instances of God's grace throughout the course of a day. By learning to give attention to God's grace in our lives, we learn to love Him more and more, don't we? Richard Foster says this: "In our busy and hectic world, it's easy to run from one thing to the next. without much thought of God's presence or purpose in our daily life. There are three main parts of the exam in prayer that I found. The first is gratitude. Gratitude for all of the gifts that you've been given during the course of a day, whether it's events or experiences, ideas or encounters, conversations or provision, or perhaps it's something else entirely. After all, as James tells us, we all know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen. The second part of the exam and prayer is this: awareness. Awareness of God's presence during different points of our day, whether it's in His Word when we're spending time with Him, or it's out in nature, or perhaps even in the people around you, because we all believe that we're made in God's image. The third part of the exam in prayer is confession. This is where it gets down to the nitty-gritty of our time today. Confession of sins of omission, which is when you know what you're supposed to do and you just don't do it. And commission, which have displeased God and therefore quenched His power and His presence in your life, whether it's through thoughts, words, or deeds. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me now. And we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to shine His searchlight on our hearts. And we're going to ask the Lord to help us examine our own hearts today. Let's repent and ask Him to bring into alignment those parts of our hearts that have wandered away. The worship team is going to go ahead and lead us.
I forgot. just want you.
Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you.
Hallelujah. 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 Communion. Together. Together. Every time I partake of the Lord's Supper, I can almost see and hear Jesus say, do this. You may be seated. Do this often and remember. See, for us as believers, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance of God's gift to us as believers. The gift of his only son, Jesus. For many years, I participated in the Eucharist, Pastor Phil, not Holy Communion, in the Eucharist, most reverently. It was a sacrament. And it was a call to reflect only on Christ's death on the cross. This remembrance we celebrate today is precious and most different from my early past, when I believed that to suffer as Christ suffered was a way to heaven. Do it often, I was taught, at least weekly. And the purpose was to remember my unworthiness. Many of you maybe can identify with that. The words, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. You know, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. Focus on the cross, the unfinished work, always. I get what Paul was referring to in the Corinthian church. I understand fully his words to the Corinthians when he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are lost. It was, to me, a stumbling block of my faith in the fullness of the cross. And that all changed for me 50 years ago when our son Christopher, who's been with us this past week, was born. Prognosis wasn't good. We were given little hope that he would be okay. All the works, all the sacraments, all the liturgy, everything that I knew so well became a crisis in faith for me. It was foolishness. It was a stumbling block to my faith. I went into a deep depression, doubting that God ever loved me or even cared about me. And it wasn't worth the energy anymore for those works to do it on my own. And I ran from God. And as the song says, while I was running, his love was running after me. And while I was running, I ran into him. Because all those years, I realized that I missed the real power of the cross. The unfinished business of the cross now became real to me. The cross was the real PowerPoint of God. Because the cross brings hope to the desperate. There's strength for the weak and the weary. There is healing for the sick, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And as often as you do this, get this, the oftener we do this, we remember the sacrifice that was already paid. We don't have to do it in our own. It was already paid for every need in our life. We can get through every dark time because of the power in the cross. Jesus invites us today to remember not just the crucifixion, but everything about him. His love, his forgiveness, his purpose, his hope, his presence always to the even the loneliness, and most of all, the power that is all of ours as a believer. 1 Corinthians says, Jesus reminds us that every time we take communion, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now think of the reality of that. Every time we come together and partake of this symbol, it's a form of evangelism. It's a form of evangelism. We partake the Lord's Supper. We are preaching the death of Christ to give us power, power for living. Words are going to fail us. We know that as preachers. Words are going to fail us. That teenager that is struggling and lost, that teenager, we've seen it in the last couple years more than ever, that is tempted to suicide, the loss of a spouse to death, or even worse, through abandonment, divorce, unfaithfulness, sickness, that maybe you survive but has changed your life forever. Sickness that has taken you in death. As we partake of the elements today, I encourage you to accept the invitation given to us by Jesus to remember the symbolism of this bread that is broken so that we can receive power. Our words will fail us, but the symbolism, people can grasp the symbolism in this. Let's not only remember Jesus' death, but let's receive his invitation to remember everything. Christ's life and teaching, his resurrection, the hope that comes from remembering the cross, and most of all, for us to remember our purpose for living. And that is to preach Christ crucified until he comes. Here we are, gathered together again. Isn't it wonderful? Hasn't it been wonderful to gather together again? It's been a long time. It's been a desert time for many in this room. Since the last time we gathered, there's been a lot of loss. In a room of this size, I know there are lives that have experienced great loss. Loss of loved ones, loss of hope, of health, of finances, of relationships, whether they be personal or extended church family. You might have come here today with a happy face. This week, you've been doing all the right things as we do as preachers. Smile on her face while we're hemmed in our hearts. I've been in that place so many times. And I have to admit to you today that it wasn't my faith that got me through it, but it was the faith of others. It was my brothers and sisters, many of whom are in this room today, that carried me on that stretcher of intercessory prayer. It was the only thing that made the difference between despair and victory. If you catch anything today, the power of the cross to get us through, and the fact that we can't do it on our own. The Jews thought it was foolishness for God's son to die on a Roman cross, but our foolishness is thinking that our strength is greater than God's wisdom and his power. God is greater. Together, we're stronger. So before we take this bread together, if you are in that place, that desert place, maybe you feel like God has forgotten your address, your name. Maybe you feel like, did God ever love me? Am I been doing this on my own? If you're filled with worry, if you're filled with grief. By the way, as we celebrated this memorial today, it's good to grieve well. Loss is real. Power of the cross heals. If you have uncertainty for the future, would you allow us to carry that stretcher of intercessory prayer with you? by raising your hand today if you have a need as we partake of this. And I'm raising my hand too. It's been a tough season. And we're not going to infringe on your space by having people gather around you, but as you raise your hand, it's a sign of surrender, of saying, God, I'm giving it to you today. As we take this bread, this element that is broken for us to cover that grief, that heartache, that hemorrhaging heart. As we raise our hands, we're saying, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. We accept your invitation to remember that sacrifice that was made, the resurrection and the power that is ours to live in faith, believing that you have paid that price already. You have paid the price for our iniquities. That's a big word that simply says it's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Would you take the bread today together as we say, even when we don't see it, you are working. We thank you for the faithfulness in our lives. We thank you for the sacrifice that's already been paid. We thank you for your strength. And for whatever need is represented in this room today, we thank you, Lord, that you are touching those who have lost loved ones, that have children needing your touch emotionally, physically, for marriages. You are enough. We give you thanks. Would you take the bread today and thank our Lord?
So in the middle of this meal that Jesus is sharing with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed, the Bible says that he got up from the table, took off his outer garment, filled a bowl with water, and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had wrapped around his waist. And then the word says that in John 13, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, the scriptures don't tell us about any other time after this that the disciples washed each other's feet. I like to think that they did, but it really doesn't matter because what Jesus said was, I'm setting you an example, not the only example. Jesus wasn't there to teach them about foot washing techniques. He had come to show them that the high call of leadership is a call to serve. Preaching is good, but serving is great. Jesus said that the greatest among you is the one who serves. My favorite, my all-time favorite MLK quote kind of piggybacks off of those words that Jesus spoke. King said, everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Jesus took this ragtag group of uneducated young men and he showed them how to be great. Not by aiming high, but by getting low. Because the highest call is to the lowest place. See, in the culture at that time, foot washing was typically the chore of female house slaves who were the lowest rung on the social ladder. And it was also sometimes a way that political leaders would exert their authority by forcing their subordinates to wash their feet. But Jesus did it as an act of grace and love. He walked into that room that night as the person with the highest call on his life. And yet the way that he expressed it, he expressed his highness by getting down low, taking the position of a servant to set an example for you and I to follow, so that when we walk into a room, we too would go in low, because our high call is to the lowest place. That's where disciples are made. And when you get down there, and I know all of us have been down there at some point, it doesn't take too long to realize that disciple making is dirty work. The disciples' feet would have been the dirtiest part of their bodies. They would have been wearing sandals, sometimes even going barefoot all day. So their feet would have been constantly exposed to the things that they had to walk through. So these weren't like, you know, freshly pedicured toes that Jesus was working with, right? These feet would have been dirty. They would have looked something like this. I think there's a picture here somewhere. They would have been dirty because they were walking through the dirt and the dust and the mud and just the mess of the streets. But Jesus wasn't too high and holy to get down and dirty. And this is our call, too, to get into the dirt of what other folks have walked through and to help them to get clean. Jesus wasn't fazed by the dirt because he knew that these dirty feet were the feet that were about to bring the good news of peace and of salvation. That's the kind of vision that Jesus had. That's what he saw when he looked at those dirty feet. He saw right through the dirt because he knew that every foot counts. Jesus took the time to wash every single foot in that room, one by one. And I don't know how long that took him. We get the whole scene here in the book of John in about 14 verses, but I think that's a little deceiving. Don't tell anybody I call the Bible deceiving. I don't know how long it took him, but what I do know is that Jesus wasn't one to rush. And he would have taken his time to serve every person in the same way, with the same grace, with the same love, for the same purpose. He even washed Judas' feet when he already knew that Judas had already betrayed him in his heart. So this wasn't a, you know, I wash your feet, you wash my feet kind of deal. It was no quid pro quo here, right? Jesus was an equal opportunity servant, the servant of all. That's who he was. That's who he is. And that's also who he's still calling each of us to be today. And so the worship team is going to lead us in another song. And if you're able, I just want to invite you to stand, to worship, really let's renew our surrender to the Lord this morning. Let's re-embrace our high call to the low place and recommit ourselves to the dirty work of making disciples. And to agree with God that whoever's foot it is, every foot matters. Every foot counts. Let's just offer ourselves to him for his glory. For him, we are his servants in his kingdom this morning. Let's worship. Thank you.
may be seated. From Genesis 1 and 2, we know that God created Adam and Eve to represent him, to commune with him, and to live for him. But we know from Genesis 3 that somewhere along the lines, they believed the lie that they could be more like God than they were created to be. Somewhere along the lines, we know that they accepted that lie as truth, and they decided that they were actually qualified to know right from wrong, to define what was right and what was wrong, and it led to catastrophic results. In that very moment, they turned their affections from the one they were truly and deeply loved by and identified by, the one whose image they reflected, the one who gave them everything they could ever desire and need, the only one who was and remains qualified to identify right from wrong. As their affections were turned from him, sin began to abound throughout all of creation. And Adam and Eve needed to be rescued. They needed to be rescued from their self-inflicted agenda of self-destruction. And the only one who could do it was the sovereign God, the one who created them, Yahweh Elohim, the only one who knew the severity of sin. To rescue them, he began to reveal himself to them, to teach them who they were and who he was, to show them what the abundant life was all about. Through Noah, he showed them how severe sin was. Through Abraham, he promised to restore humankind. Through Moses, he promised to bless Israel as long as they obeyed him. And through David, he promised to send the one and only Messiah who would have an eternal kingdom. Each promise revealed what his rescue mission encompassed. Technically speaking, salvation is the act or state of deliverance from physical and spiritual, temporal and eternal harm and danger. Salvation throughout Scripture refers to the physical and spiritual benefits that God lavishly gives his creation. There's national deliverance, relief from slavery, recovery after illness, healing from disease, release from prison, protection from danger and evil, divine judgment and death. Scripture's holistic view of salvation can be summed up in the Hebrew term shalom, which means well-being, wholeness, it's peace. It's God's restoration of his identity, purpose, function, and perspective for humankind. But the writers of Scripture, they also understood that salvation is a person. The psalmist declares in Psalm 62, verses 1 through 2, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." He goes on and says, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. O God, you rest on God, rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God." And then in Psalm 118:14, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." The psalmist goes on to say, "I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation." You see, the psalmist knew that behind all of the acts that God performed was a person performing them. This person was being described through every promise that God made in his covenants. And this person is Jesus. His name declares that. His name comes from the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua, which means God saves, God is salvation. So Jesus became the necessary sacrifice needed to restore humankind to our God-intended purpose, function, identity, and perspective. He is the necessary sacrifice to turn our affections back to God, to truth. So yes, salvation encompasses safety and healing and restoration and renewal and deliverance. But actions can't happen without someone performing them. Salvation encompasses those acts, but that's not all there is to it. Salvation is Yahweh. The focus of the Bible writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit is on the experience that God gave us through those acts of revealing who he was to us, to bring us back to our God-given identity. God is our salvation. And we are here as ministers of the gospel. We have chosen to turn our affections back to him. We have chosen to serve and spread his gospel. Hopefully, we have scoured the pages of Scripture trying to understand how deep salvation goes so that we can teach others about him, about Yahweh. But while we describe him as the one who brings these acts to pass, as the one who delivers us from evil, as the one who protects us, may we also tell people who don't know him yet that he is the great, the mighty, and the awesome God.
that he is the one by which all things were created and in whom all things hold together, that he is our strength in times of trouble, that he is the one who is near to the brokenhearted, that he is our hiding place, that he delivers us from evil, that he is the one who makes a way in the wilderness, that he is our rock and our fortress and deliverer, our refuge, the one who commands his angels to guard us in all of our ways. He is the one who in Psalm 91 says, because he loves me, I will rescue him. I will protect him. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is our salvation. When we go through the hard parts of life, the ones that seem to have power to separate us from God, may we remember that nothing and no one can separate us from his love. And as we remember this truth, may we also point others to it. Communion is such a special event. It is sacred. And when we partake in these elements, we proclaim that God, that Jesus was committed to us on that night in Gethsemane. And we need to tell other people, we need to explain to them how deep that commitment goes. We also proclaim that he's coming back again to right every wrong. And we proclaim that salvation is for all people. So as we move forward in this communion celebration, I'd like us to take a moment and think about the many ways by which God has restored us and saved us and redeemed us. But I'd also like us to think of those who have yet to turn their affections back to him, the ones who aren't aware that they're not alone in life's hardships. They may be dealing with it alone. They may feel hopeless and stuck in behind a closed door, not even knowing that there's this God who loves them, who sees them, and who longs to save them. So as we consider the commitment Christ expressed on the cross, may we sing out our praise, but also call out the names of those who don't know him, those who have not yet experienced him as Savior, as a loving, strong, awesome, safe comforter and warrior whose love cannot be limited or prevented. So if you can all stand with me and get ready to take your drink, your cup. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of gratitude. And then after that, we'll lead us in a prayer for all of those who don't know God yet. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being the necessary sacrifice. Thank you that though we were the ones who committed the sin, you paid the price. You came and you saved us. You restore us. You redeem us. And even as every day goes by and we fail you, you remain faithful and committed to us. Thank you, God, that there is no other but you, that no one could do what you did and what you accomplished. I thank you for your mercy and your grace that was displayed on that cross. I thank you, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you surrendered to the redemptive plan for us, that even when we turned our affections for you, you continue to turn your affections toward us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this reminder. Thank you for the ways that you are committed to us and that the gospel is for all people. Thank you. And as we take this cup, may we remember that commitment and let it deep penetrate our hearts deeply. Amen. And God, I'd like to pray for every person that we know. God, we know who they are and they are a burden to us. God, I pray that you would help us to be people who follow you, who give our hearts to you so that they can see you, so that they can know you, so that they can realize that they're not alone, that everything that happens in life, that you are with them, that you see them, that you love them, and that you want to show them your love. You want to extend that invitation to them, and may you use us, God, as we call out their names in this very moment, knowing who they are, knowing very well that they're our family members, our neighbors, our friends, God. Help us to know, God, to trust that you love them and that you see them and that you love them more than we ever could. And help us, God, to never go a day without praying for them, without extending your invitation to them, without reminding them and pointing them to you as ministers of the gospel. As we turn our affections to you and we come to you asking for needs, may we never remember to call out their name to you. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your open arms that are extended to us no matter what. Help us, God, to point them to you through our actions, through our words, through the ways that we speak of your truth day in and day out. I thank you, Father, for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mark 14:26 says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You see, Jesus and his disciples, they had just finished this meal together. Jesus had taken the bread and broken it, and they had taken the cup. And then they sang a hymn or a song of praise, which was customary after a meal like this. But then they went out. And I think we need to remember this part. They went out. You see, we've just experienced an incredible council together. We've just taken communion together. And now it's our turn to go. We aren't saved so that we can stay in these walls that we're in right now. We aren't saved so that we can be comfortable and content. We're called to go. We're called to be missional. We're called to serve. And as we go, as we leave this room, we're going to be the bright light for Christ in a very, very dark world. You see, we're called to take the credible news of Jesus and to share with everyone around us so that we can make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. But I also want to remind us of something. We have this incredibly beautiful promise that as we go, as we leave this room, as we leave these walls, we're not going by ourselves. See, at the end of Matthew 28:20, Jesus tells his disciples, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the very ends of the age." See, what a good reminder for us that no matter where we go, he's always with us. We're sent, we're not meant to stay within the confines of one room. And where we go, he goes. But what's also cool about this is that his spirit isn't given with limits. John 3:34 says this, "For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the spirit without measure." Some other translations say he gives the spirit without a limit. He does not give the spirit sparingly, and he gives the spirit boundlessly. You see, we have unlimited access to the dunamis power, that dynamite power. And we aren't limited and we aren't restrained in what we receive. In fact, we have the permanent indwelling Spirit of God who carries out a myriad of ministries in each and every one of our lives. And he equips us with his supernatural strength and his never-ending grace to help us fulfill the call that he's put on our lives. And in this release of the Spirit, therein is the power for our commissioning, for our going. So we know that we're sent. We know that we're not alone. We know that we have full access to the Spirit. So now what? Well, let's go. Let's get out of our comfort zones. Let's get out of the seats that we're in. Let's get out of the walls that we've put ourselves in, that box that we've stuck ourselves in. And let's go. Let's venture out beyond the walls. You see, we're called to be Jesus to people who look different than us. We're called to be Jesus who talk in a different language than us. We're called to be Jesus to people that eat different foods than us, people that have different political views, people that don't act the same way that we do. We're called to love people, and we're called to be the conduit for which the gospel goes forth to every tongue, every tribe, and every nation. And now, friends, more than ever, the mission field is right in our backyard. We don't have to go very far to find people that need Jesus and people that are hurting. So I'm going to challenge you today with three words. I'm going to challenge you to find, to feed, and to fight. Find. We need to find people. We need to find those that are lost. We can't wait for them to come to us. We need to be praying for God to drop people's names in our lives. We need to be going to the coffee shop and waiting for that person to walk through the door that the Spirit says, go talk to them. We need to keep our eyes open for the people that are around us, the people that live next door to us, the people in our kids' schools, the people in our communities. And see, and once we find them, we need to feed them because we have the bread of life. We have the water that satisfies. It's our time to feed the people that are around us, to give them Jesus, to give them the only thing that's going to fill that void that's inside of them. And when we feed them, let's not just tell them about Jesus, or let's not just tell them about the Bible, or let's teach them to obey it. Let's teach them to obey Jesus. Let's teach them about who he is and what he's done in our lives. Because we have an incredible privilege to share Jesus. We are each in a different sphere of influence. We are around different people. We are around different different people in this circle that we're in, and so we are the only ones that can reach those people at that moment. After we find them and after we feed them, let's fight for them, because we all know that the enemy is raging. So we need to be a people that are fighting for them in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be fighting for them in prayer. We need to be fighting for them relationally. We need to be fighting for them spiritually. You see, God has placed a unique call in each one of our lives this morning. And I want to remind us that that call doesn't mean for us to get comfortable and to stay where we're at. Today may look different than tomorrow, and tomorrow may look different from the next day. And so we have to be open and available to where the Lord is leading us, and we have to be reminded and remember to go. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I know that going is going to look different for each one of us. You see, maybe going for you means going back to your church and your community. Maybe going means going back to the university campus and serving. Maybe going means planting churches. Maybe going means going overseas. Everybody's going is going to look a little bit different, and that's okay. And maybe God's even calling you to a brand new place that you don't even know anything about right now, but he's going to speak to you and call you somewhere else. But as we spend some time in worship right now, I would ask that you would join me in committing your life to wherever he's going to call you. Let's commit ourselves to the Great Commission in the going and the making of disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Let's commit to go wherever he calls us to go, whatever that looks like, however that difficult may seem, that may seem, and however that far-fetched that may seem to us, because it's not far-fetched to him. He knows exactly what he's doing. Lord, we're just thankful for you this morning. We're thankful for your call on our life. We're thank you for where you're leading us, where you're guiding us and directing us. And as you lead us, may we be reminded that we are not made to stay. We are made to go. Lord, I pray that as we worship now, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts. I pray that we would commit ourselves to go where you want us to go. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, we love you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We are so excited to be your servants. Father, we've come out of a dry bone season, but we believe, can these dry bones live? Yes, you know it, Lord. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray over prodigals, sons and daughters who've gone. And in Jesus' name we say, awaken, come to your senses, come home, in Jesus' name. Father, we right now, we speak to forces in our church that might be hindrances. And we say in the name of Jesus, be redeemed. Father, right now we come against the wiles of the wicked one who would attack us, our families, our churches. And we say in the name of Jesus, let your arrows be quenched by the Spirit of God. Father, we pray right now for every member of this family that, Lord, they would be encouraged, strengthened, that they would kneel before you and stand against the enemy. Father, I pray you would give them courage, faith, joy, strength, peace. Let faith arise in their heart and their spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Give them a vision for the future. Give them, Lord, the right response. Give them words and wisdom that will help them to stand. In these days, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Can you be seated for one moment? We're going to do something just a little bit different. Usually it's at this time that I thank people. We're going to do that. Let me get my notes out. Let me just say thank you to all of those that I'm going to forget to mention your name so that your name will have been mentioned. Hey, thanks to Jeff Leake, Dr. Mark Hossfeld. Thanks to those who spoke this morning. Just fabulous stuff.
I think I'm going to remember Jeff Leek talking about we're not measured by what we accumulate, but what we put into motion. Powerful word. Thank you to our worship team. You guys, you're phenomenal. You guys were just great. Thank you so much. And consider yourself booked now through 2031. So just fabulous, guys. I love your heart. I love your heart. And so thank you so much, each one of you guys. It's fabulous. Hey, I want to thank the Abundant Life Community Church from Alton, their video and presentation team. Just fabulous stuff. So, guys, those of you who are working the cameras and the computers, thank you. Can we just thank them? Just think, a couple of years ago, we were live streaming all of our stuff by a webcam. And you guys have just done phenomenal. Joel Woodward, where are you at, Pastor Joel? He's back in the back. Let's give Pastor Joel a hand. Pastor Joel's been running the sound. And every one of you have somebody in your church who says, it's too. Thank you. And then you have a couple of other people like me who are deaf who are going, can't they just turn it up a little bit? And so, Pastor Joel, great job. We love and appreciate you. Lake Williamson, Pastor Steve mentioned it this morning. Listen, you weren't over in the dining room last night at 11 o'clock. Renee and I and one or two others were the last ones to leave. They were all still over there at 11 o'clock setting up for breakfast this morning. Monday night, they were over here at 11:15, 11:30, clearing that, getting everything ready. Our Lake Williamson team has just done a phenomenal job. Illinois student, amen. Illinois Student Ministries, and their Pastor Chris has been our producer. He's the one that's been getting everybody up and on the stage and at the right place and in the right time. And that's like herding. Have you ever heard the old phrase, herding cats? Preachers are like herding squirrels. It's even worse. And Pastor Chris has just done a phenomenal job. And his whole team, all the graphics that you see come from his team. So much of the work has been done by our ISM interns. They've just done a great job. So thank you guys so much. The district, amen. The district staff, I just feel sorry for you people. You don't get to work with the best staff in the world. But the people who work at the district office are literally just the absolute best. And we deeply appreciate them. Two more that we want to thank, we'll get to in just a second. There you go. Hey, can we give the Lord a thanks? We just got a report. Anna did have the babies this morning, and babies and mom, 10 weeks early, but they're all doing well right now. So can we just thank the Lord for that? Amen. In the back, when you leave, take your name badge. If you want to take them home, you can. Just drop a dollar in the bucket. But but we try to save every penny that we can. So just take your name badges are back there. Your room keys. You say, I got to get back in my room. That's fine. Don't take your room keys home. It costs us $5 to get every one of those replaced. You know, you have a couple hundred rooms. That's only $1,000 or so. So if your church would like to give an extra thou, that's okay. Keep your key. But if not, drop your keys off at the activity center, or we have a buckets back here in the back. Lastly, and most not next to last, next to lastly, but most importantly, we want to thank Jesus. We want to thank our Heavenly Father. People say, oh, what a great district council. Listen, nothing happens unless Jesus shows up. So Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you, Father, for breathing life into these last 3 days and breathing life into us, Lord. We just thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last thing we're going to do is we're going to pray. This is not on our agenda. We're going to give thanks one more time, and then we're going to pray. So can we just thank Pastor Gary and Ann one last time for all their great work. Amen. And I'm going to ask Gary and Ann to come to the front. I think Roy's here. I'm not sure if Leanne is, but if Leanne's here, would you and Roy come this morning? We're just going to, I'm going to ask Pastor Gary to pray over you. I know we had our council pray over you, but we're just going to ask Pastor Gary and Ann to pray over Pastor Roy and Leanne. Can we do that right now? Let's just stretch our hands out. Pastor, would you just lead us in prayer if you would? Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for this great day
Yes. That
you have given us. We have sensed your presence, and Lord, we have heard your word as it has been imparted into our heart and into our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your work during this council, for men and women who have been chosen by you, Lord, to serve in various positions. I thank you for our executive presbyters who were elected and for those whose names will be going down to general council. But Lord, in this moment, I thank you for one of our assistant superintendents who was elected this time. I thank you for Roy and Leanne. Lord, this morning, I pray your richest anointing upon them. Lord, I ask that you would do for them, God, what you have done for Ann and I. Give them favor, Lord, wherever they would go. Give them favor with people, favor with churches. Lord, you have blessed our lives as we have driven up and down the roads of Illinois. I pray that same protection over Roy and Leanne, God, that you would guard their vehicle, and Father, that you would be forever with them. And Lord, you have continued to pour your blessings out on our family, and I ask that you would do the same for Roy and Leanne, that your blessings, oh God, would continue to be poured out upon their family. Lord, I pray that you would give them the wisdom that is needed for decisions that are yet to be made. Father, insights, Holy Spirit gifts working through their lives every moment of every day. And Lord, I ask that every time Roy would pick up the phone, Lord, may it not be a problem, but Lord, may it be an opportunity. And God, may you give him a right word in a right moment that will bring healing, that will bring encouragement, that will bring hope. I pray, Father, that as he meets with ministers throughout our district, that in that moment, the Holy Spirit will make it a divine moment, a moment of encouragement, a moment, oh God, of helping people gain wisdom and insight and fresh vision. Yes. Lord, I pray your blessings upon my brother, your anointing upon him. Use him mightily, I ask. And Lord, may the record that he will write be greater than the one that has been left behind. Yes. Father, your anointing upon my friend, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.
I just, Pastor Phil, have to express a word of thanks. You have stood up for Ann and I more often than we used to stand up in a Catholic Mass.
That's a great line.
And that's a lot. I almost felt like I was back home. Your expressions over the last couple of days have humbled us. I cannot begin to tell you how many times someone said to me over these last few days, "Do you remember when you said? Do you remember when you did? Do you remember when we met?" And I have to look back and say, no, I don't remember ever saying that. And then they have said, those words have changed my ministry. I am humbled, so humbled. Thank you for your love. Thank you for allowing us to be us for the last 20 years. Thank you for your expressions over these last few days. May God richly bless you as you have blessed us. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You can be seated. Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the Resolutions Committee, it is my privilege to offer the 2021 Courtesy Resolution for the Illinois District Council. Whereas we recognize the blessing and presence of God in this 99th gathering of the Illinois District Council of the Assemblies of God, and whereas we are renewed having been reminded of the importance of mentorship, encouraged to redefine success for the kingdom of God, and sent on to continue pointing others to God and advancing the gospel for all people through love, truth, and tact rather than the division, and whereas we, the body of Christ, will pursue giving God our best at all times as we proclaim the gospel through the wise stewardship of our relationships, economy, and spiritual and emotional health so that we may multiply instead of accumulate, therefore be it resolved that the 99th 11 District Council of the Assemblies of God in session extends its appreciation and thanks for the dedicated work and commitment of time by District Superintendent Reverend Phil and Renee Schneider, Assistant Superintendent Reverend Gary and Ann Blanchard, and the Chicago Assistant Superintendent Ron and Tamara Heitman for their excellence in ministry and servant leadership. And be it further resolved that this council acknowledge with great gratitude to God the faithful and exemplary service rendered by our dear friend, Reverend Gary Blanchard, for his many years of executive leadership to this fellowship on this, the occasion of his final district council as Assistant Superintendent of the Illinois District Council. And be it further resolved that we express our appreciation and thanks to the Illinois District staff for all the work and effort that went into making this 99th council flow smoothly. And be it further resolved that we acknowledge Steve Evans and the entire Lake Williamson team for their great hospitality in hosting the Illinois District Council as their first major event in the aftermath of the pandemic. And be it further resolved that we, the ministers of the Illinois District, commit ourselves to serve our district leadership, including newly elected Assistant Superintendent Reverend Roy Royds, and the district presbytery, including newly elected executive presbyters Reverend Joe Labertu and Reverend Eric Scottberg, by lifting them up in prayer that the Lord may bless them and keep them and make his face shine upon them and give them his peace. And be it further resolved that the attendees of this 99th District Council return to their ministries to serve effectively so that the gospel may advance. Mr. Chairman, I resolve to move this adoption.
Praise the Lord. We have a motion. Pastor Gary, do I have a second?
You have a second.
Get your name in the record book there. All in favor say
aye.
Aye. At this time, we'll consider a motion to adjourn to the dining room for a wonderful lunch. Is there a motion and a second? I heard that whistle. All in favor say
aye.
You may be dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We love you all. Don't forget your name badges and your keys.